ye woe, woe, look so scream. Hand him on now, woe, 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 woe. And he woe, woe, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Emma Garrig Scott. She's here talking about her show Ruminators, which is on now through August 31st at Froelich Gallery in Old Town. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again, Emma.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
You've been painting on Tyvek, which I always think is interesting because it's everywhere, but you don't see it in galleries much. It seems like a good material, right? Cheaper than paper?
Yeah, it's a surprisingly good material for painting on with acrylic, or I use flash paint in this case, which is a high pigment vinyl-based paint. And I over the years, I've met and seen artists using Tyvek. It just looks really fun. You can get a big roll of it. And the way that I like to work, especially large, is it's nice to have material that I can quickly iterate through. So the Tyvek also is really lightweight. It doesn't wrinkle very easily, which is nice for me as kind of a messier person. And it's basically what it is. It's like rice paper, but it's a plastic. It's like a sort of this plastic that is interwoven and creates this paper. It's really durable paper. So these pieces, I have two pieces in the show that are on Tyvek with flash paint. And the Tyvek is really nice for, I like to go and do artist residencies. It's really lightweight. I can roll it up, put it in tubes, and be able to bring quite a lot with me and work through a couple paintings for a week or two at a time. So these two, they're human forms. They were pieces that I was iterating over quite a few times from a figure drawing session. And so I had these smaller gouache paintings that I was really endeared to and wanted to see them. I just described the feeling I got when I looked at them. I was like, oh man, these would make really cool posters. They're like almost, the forms are really flat, and yet you have these human forms, and each sort of human piece is almost like this puzzle piece coming together. But then I throw in my drawing / line work sensibilities to it. Anyways, and so it spoke to me more as like a poster, and I thought it'd be very funny / fun to use the Tyvek as like sort of a poster material. Mm-hmm.
So the one on the left at the back wall is called Body with an Arm, and it's a woman's body with the head cut off at the shoulder. Mostly a pink body, but her right leg, which is furthest away, is light green, sort of mint green with blue accents. She has a green arm. Maybe that's another arm there, too. Are they both green?
Yeah, they're both arms that sort of... I mean, again, as I iterated through these human figures, like those forms became more and more just like shapes to utilize. But then it kind of became in my mind, I was like, oh, this is my figure with an arm, because in the one instance, there is sort of that mint green arm coming in with the hand more, you know, detailed a little bit and with the painterly style. Almost like a little bit, I always like the little bit of that Renaissance sort of hand look, you know, like the two fingers, the pointer and the middle finger sort of touching together. And so yeah, that was sort of a play on, I don't know, just like my take of like it's a poster and.
But then the background is just very hard to read. It's very abstract, flat shapes of dark green, black, blue with some black stripes, and then on the floor, kind of swirly yellow and blue. Could be a rug, you know. Could be water and some red touches in there. So what's the relation between the shape of the body and the background?
Yeah, I think one thing I'm very intrigued by is the like foreground background play, and again that foreground, realizing that was taking on sort of these more simplistic forms and sort of fitting them together, and that expanded out into the background. So it wasn't really about creating, you know, a space for that form to exist on. It really then became about creating this flat space and taking sort of that shading sensibilities and sort of those impulses into that background and that rug piece that you're talking about. Some of my favorite parts to work on as a painter that you can, I can get really lost in sort of those swirls and dry brush strokes mixed with the really fine lines. And so I think, you know, that for me, that part is sort of my, the real enjoyment when I get to that part in a painting is like, I get to just, oh, I can just sit and look at that for a long time and, mm-hmm. and work through that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, and again, that idea, like I've taken this sort of, like action and this sort of style to represent anything from water movement to fabric to, let's see, what like rock forms as mm-hmm. well. And it's something that I started off drawing quite a lot, and then finally, more recently in the last couple of years, I've spent time like getting to know in paint.
So the other Tyvek piece is Body with a Head. It's opposite it, and looks like, I don't know, a man or a woman sitting with one leg, one knee bent up. They're sitting down. The other leg kind of folded under them. And the background, again, is the body is made up of green, yellow, blue, and pink shapes. I mean, they're just sort of pieced together, like you said, like a big puzzle. And then the background is this distinct blue, black, and red. And I think it's a guy sitting on a greeny white swirls, or you know, maybe in water or something. Mm-hmm. What? How do these two go together? Were they just done at the same time, or was it? Are they part of 10 similar, or how do they?
Yeah, totally. They again, they were from us. They might have been the same figure drawing session, actually, now that I think about it. But they started off as much smaller pieces that I had been reworking several times, mainly in gouache paint and quite a bit smaller. These are much like, what, I think 2x4, 3x4 feet, something around there. Mm-hmm.
So you were giving the class in bigger, or you were taking
the class? I just, there was a figure drawing session I just paid to go check mm-hmm. out around here in Portland.
And you were drawing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you took those...
And I just took them home. I took that process was, again, a couple of years ago. Took those drawings home and then just started. They were on cardstock or a thick cotton paper that I like to do gouache painting on. And so I started painting them, and then I would put them away, and then I'd bring them out and keep painting on them. So, there's several in this series, but my three favorites from those revisitings are here in the gallery as well. There's three gouache paintings, and two of them are the larger Tyvek mm-hmm. pieces that we see here. So, yeah, this is definitely one. I wanted it to feel, in session with the two pieces together. I'm trying to think what else I want to say about this one. I mean, again, this one kind of became figure or body with a head because, you know, distinct from the other one, this one does have a head.
He's got most of his head, yeah.
He has most of the head.
You look at your other work here, there's a lot more shadow and texture. What is the why is this a more simplistic style?
Yeah, again, I think it was wanting to take the gouache pieces that ended up, you know, when I work small, I think there's inherent simplicity in that, right? Because there's only so much detail you can get in a smaller piece. So scaling it up was a curiosity. Could I maintain sort of the simplicity on a larger scale? Because frequently, I mean, as you can see, when I work on a larger scale, yeah, more detail gets involved.
Mm-hmm. Why do you present them on plywood with, you know, magnetic pins?
Yeah, another interesting process. I mean, to me, these were in the studio. And this is kind of how I had been looking at them, not necessarily magnetized, but sort of attached to a plywood wall. And I think, they could have been framed more formally, but there was something about sort of like demonstrating their paper quality on that grain, I think adds in, I mean, I share a studio space with a woodworker, so it kind of also just made sense to sort of have, like, I really did. I had this, like, kind of not nice piece of plywood that I had, you know, pinned these or taped these up to be looking at, and it just sort of, all of a sudden, it felt like that was the frame for them, and, and I don't know, I just kind of wanted to see them in the gallery space, sort of bring the studio just a little bit.
They are pretty wrinkled, though, the pieces. I mean, what is it? Tyvek is waterproof but breathable. It's like a one-way moisture barrier for housing.
Yeah.
So what does paint do? Does it make it wrinkle?
Not very much. Definitely, I mean, I you might be seeing that because of the way that I have it hung. I know other artists have actually, like, glued it to surfaces or even just used double-sided sticky tape to sort of get it to lay flat. But no, it doesn't need to be treated or sized, and I think some of that wrinkling is just coming from, I don't know, I think, actually, I don't know where the sort of, like, I'm seeing what you're seeing, where, like, the paint, where there's more paint, it almost feels a little bubbled, but, like, I don't read that as, like, exclusively wrinkly, though. I just read that as paint on paper. Okay. But yeah, Tyvek is very breathable and, again, durable. It interacts really well with, like, a plastic or vinyl-based paint. It binds to that. Yeah,
and it dries quickly.
And the thing with acrylic paint is it also, I mean, on canvas, right, you still have a breathable surface, so it still behaves similar to a canvas, yeah.
So you're known for doing pictures of animals, right? Dogs and horses and ducks. So here's a big painting of a guy, horses with a man. And it's a guy in a blue sweater, and he's petting a face of a black horse with the back of his hand. There's a brown horse sticking his head in too. And then what looks like it may be a tree in the background, and then this strange gray thing behind him. So tell me again about how realistic you try and make the background. Should I think it's a tree, or is it totally abstract?
Oh, I think you can absolutely view it as a tree. I wouldn't be mad if you thought that were a tree. A lot of the inspiration comes from looking at or trying to decipher looking at a forested background, right? If you chose to sit down and draw that, you could be there for hours. I mean, it's a really complicated web. And so it's trying to decide when I look at even reference photos or if I'm out observing and doing any field drawing, it's just trying to, when I do the drawings themselves, it's trying to capture, like, sort of a shape and an energy.
His face is very strange. It's got sort of pink all over him and one dark eye socket and a dark upper lip. And then his hand, he looks like he has a stigmata. It's like a big red mark on his palm and fingers. Why do you do that?
With human, like, limbs, faces, when I paint those, when I draw them, they're just in black and white. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, very easy to just pull that into a painting and sort of do what's expected in painting with human skin tone and form. But I really like to take my painting to a place where I like to surprise myself a little bit. And so I like bringing in, you know, a color palette that I'm intrigued by. And then, like, yes, getting the human form where I want it, but allowing myself quite a bit of play and leeway. Like, I think a good demonstration is sort of these drips coming down from the hairline, and that could have felt like a frustrating mistake, but instead just choosing to use that wet paint to sort of create shadow.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, the around.
The black came from his hair in three lines, three stripes, and then you made it the shadow around the eye.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I like taking, like, sort of these things that happen as I'm going along. I mean, and similarly treating these forms to how I was describing, you know, the backgrounds, the water, the fabric, whatever I'm choosing to interpret, As you know, those are such playful spaces, and so really wanting to, you know, branch that out into the animal and human form as well, and so that that figure in the background can interact.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Emma Gehrig Scott. She's talking about her show Ruminators, which is on now through August 31st at Frolic Gallery in Old Town. What is a ruminator?
Well, a ruminator is a, I mean, frequently I think of a sheep, but they're animals that are grazers, and they have like a multi-stomach system. So they'll graze in a pasture, and as they eat grass, it needs to go through like several rounds of digestion before it can actually be like all of those nutrients can be sucked up by the body and, and processed. And originally I was thinking more about my artistic practice with this show in particular, and how a lot of my work is, it feels like I'm a ruminator. Like I'll go out and collect these images on, you know, in a variety of ways, but mainly on small like post-it notes and little pen drawings. That's how I like to sort of get the idea for forms, and it means like really rapid iteration for me as well. And then I sit with them for a long time, so it's like revisiting things frequently, and then also like retranslating them into different mediums and forms. Which again, that kind of manifested in this show as well, because yes, there are paintings, but also I have these plaster sculptures I had been working on for a couple years, and the plaster sculptures are based off of drawings and paintings that I've been doing over the years, and a real desire to sort of see those manifested as like in three-dimensional space.
There's a great video of you on the Frolic site where you are sitting in Laurelhurst Park drawing the ducks on post-it notes, and then you like put them in a book or something, keep them at home and look at them years later, maybe, or months later. And then what?
So they'll end up in like notebooks that I collect over the years, and then sometimes I like to one process I enjoy is sort of taking them out of the notebook and scanning them in different like combinations of the post-it notes, so like putting them in context next to like different things I've collected drawing wise over the years. And so sometimes there's, you know, a 2 year, 3 year gap between like different drawings.
What do you scan? What do you use to scan them?
I just use like my printer scanner at home. So I just, I have my own like PDF files of like these little drawings, and so, and then I'll print those out and I'll bring them to the studio, or I'll bring the little drawings to the studio. So it's not like a singular direct path to how they end up in the studio, I would say. But they do, over the years, they come with me to the studio, and then, or to an artist residency, and that's sort of where I start then iterating on those, ones that, like, really catch my eye. Because there's quite a few of them, and so it's, you know, it's a matter of sort of narrowing down every time, like, okay, which one am I going to focus on, which one intrigues me, and then sort of playing with them from there. I mean, sometimes they just become slightly larger ink drawings. Sometimes they just become gouache paintings. Or sometimes they just keep going down this digestion path all the way to, like, a painting.
So Prize Duck is someone holding a duck sort of into their body. So the duck's head is at their chest and the duck's arse is pointing out. And there's two pink hands holding it kind of carefully. Again, it's hard to know what's going on in the background or where the legs are, but there's a lot more detail of the hands, the duck's feet, the duck's face. Was this originally like one sketch?
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually in this show, but it was originally a... So another version of this is I do like to go and photograph if I'm not in the mood to draw, but I have an opportunity to collect more images. So this was taken, I went and visited a duck farm down in Corvallis a couple years ago now through a family friend. And yeah, I took a bunch of photos of him holding these different ducks. And then that sat around for a long time. I didn't do much with them. And then I had sort of the impetus to go through all those photos and do my drawing process with the photos. So I wasn't mm-hmm. on site when I did them, if that makes sense. So this one started off as a drawing, and then I actually did several smaller paintings again. You're going to keep hearing this process, but again, they were smaller paintings. And then it was just kind of at a point where I was like, I just want to see a big duck. And that's why it's like, it's the prize duck. It's a big duck. Oh. But he also, he bred really fancy ducks.
What are these dogs? Let's see, the dogs get the best treatment here, the most detail.
They always do. Yeah. What,
is that just the love of the... You love dogs the most?
Yeah, it's because I choose favorites. I think it's because, it might have been because of the, it's funny, like, talking to you now, I feel like how I treat, detail and scale is really, so these 12 by 12, these are oil on aluminum, and I think it's just a matter of, I'm looking at the drawings, and then I think as a painter, like, because with these paintings, you can't see me, but I get really close when I'm painting them. It's like you're right here. And so I've got these little brushes. And so it almost becomes like, yeah, I get the forms and the forms feel right. And then I just like kind of fall in love with like getting the little line work in there mm-hmm. and just sort of, especially with oil paint is like one of my favorites.
I didn't even notice, but the aluminum shines through silver. Every brush stroke, the less paint, the more silver.
Yeah.
And what is it like as a medium to feel the brush?
I personally love it. I know some artists really like a textured surface to paint on, but I think oil paint on aluminum is really fun. I mean, it is, like you're saying, it just is really fluid and smooth. And also the way, aluminum is good for oil painting, and really the only treatment to the surface is I order them this way, and they come like slightly sanded, I guess, so there's a like imperceptible tooth to it for the oil paint to actually adhere to. I like the challenge of the aluminum panel and oil as well, because as you can tell, I like to iterate even over existing paintings, or like have quite a few layers. But these ones really work when I'm able to like have some self-restraint, and it's a singular layer of paint, and then you can really see that aluminum mm-hmm. shine through.
Mm-hmm. So you've made small sculptures, maybe a foot high, maybe a bit smaller, flowers, ducks flying, a sheep, a human sitting down. So this is a rough plaster painted in bright colors, mm-hmm. Presumably it's on some kind of frame. Is sculpture your thing?
No. But it is now. I thought it would be interesting to have all of these drawings and then make these objects that I could set up for still lives and then draw again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still have it up at the Portland Art Museum, but C.S. Price, he made all of these like little miniature... Like, for him to work in the abstract, he actually made like cubist little... horses and little houses, and then painted them in his color palette. And I just had always kind of obsessed over that idea. I thought it was a really interesting way of like sort of giving yourself resources as an artist, giving yourself resources to like mm-hmm. paint from and get ideas from, which is the whole point of like those post-it notes.
But to make something 3D, you could have 3D printed it, you could have had it made as an inflatable in China. You could have made it out of bronze. So why plaster?
Yeah, I could have made it out of bronze. That would probably be a little nicer. But the plaster ended up being, it was just a really playful and fun medium for me. I also, this was in conjunction with this idea of using... I don't like wasting things, and I also kind of like the idea of like repurposing things and retranslating things, and it expanded out into objects as well, like actual physical objects. So it was like I had like these little foam blue foam scraps, which a lot of sculptors use for sculptural pieces. And I had a lot of scraps lying around the studio, and so it was just like trying to look. I would look at them and be like, could I make this into one of my forms, and then I would be like referencing the drawing, and then like sort of figuring out ways of adding, you know, these little pieces to it, like little petals to it. And
what's the petal made of?
Those would be little card. Those are cardboard pieces, okay. and then I'm pretty sure this is a foam base. And then, yeah, and then it's the plaster is dipped in gauze, basically. It's a plaster wrap that I then just
An old school cast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would just sort of, like, piece together this object and then make it this really solid object by doing a cast over it.
Yeah, a flower pot is a big painting, and it's sort of wild-looking tropical flowers in a multicolored vase, I think, or a red vase. So you were doing that, and the flowers, the 3D flowers, already made?
Yes, this one was already made. It wasn't painted yet. And so, like, parts of it, I think, come into play in that one. I think that one, yeah.
And just sort of tied them together.
Yeah, exactly. And then the limbs as well, there's a foot and a hand, which are shown sort of alongside more of these human limb figure pieces, you know, body with an arm and body with a head. And again, wanting to sort of tie all of, like, demonstrate, I think, to viewers as well, sort of how the ideas and the forms are just constantly communicating with each other in my studio.
So I didn't know you were a software programmer, designer, whatever, all day, all week. Any parallels between this and that?
Yeah, I get that question semi-frequently, and I think my, like, creative problem solving is probably the biggest one. And I know I talked a lot about things sort of feeling like a puzzle. I mean, software engineering is really mostly puzzles, and I just enjoy them. And so just sort of like I generate meaning for myself and purpose and boundaries for myself through, like, puzzle making and, like, kind of coming up with systems for operating within. So I would say that's probably the biggest overlap between the two, is that I actually think that part of my brain works well in both of those mediums. I don't think I think it engages similarly.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was painter Emma Garrick-Scott. She was talking about Ruminators, which is on now through August 31st at Froelich Gallery in Oldtown. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again, Emma.
Yeah, thank you, Joseph. This was great.
Great.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.